All right. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, sometimes Marcus, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Today is Monday, July 31st. Stocks bounce back, earnings strong, recession fear is over, crude oil at a high since April, that is, Adobe on the move, jobs and earnings in the spotlight, plus I'll share how I managed my PNC trade. As you can see, there's a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. Now, if this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge, and I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. And today we'll call the show Coffee with Mark, because if you've been following along, you know that Marcus has been busy. In fact, I do have a picture of Marcus in action at a sailing regatta. Let me share this real quick. There we go. Marcus with his flowing locks in an A shirt. No. I don't know why this cracks me up. We'll get back to the charts in a minute. But hey, I'm running the show solo, but I promise that you are in good hands. You could say we have a ton of trading experience here at Rockwell Trading, decades, in fact, and we know our stuff. We're not afraid to tell it like it is. So if you're looking for some honest insight into the world of trading, then you are at the right place. Before we dive in and show you our trades, I promise I won't show you any more Nicolas Cage pictures. And instead, I'll show you how we are tackling these crazy markets. So let's go ahead, bring up the S&P 500. Here we see a chart of the S&P 500. And after the Fed, it did seem like we could see a bit of a reversal. In fact, we did have a reversal day on Thursday, gapping higher and selling off, finishing the session lower. But then on Friday, we just snapped right back, the S&P finishing Friday with a nice 1% gain, ending the week at highs of the year, that is. And the Dow also higher on Friday, finishing up 0.5%, not quite getting back up to the highs that we had earlier in the week, but still a nice way to wrap things up. We also had the NASDAQ up on Friday, finishing up 1.9% higher. Just like the Dow, not quite getting to highs of the year. So S&P looking strong, although it was a nice way to finish the week across the board. If we look at what's been going on in the markets, we now have three day of July. July 31st. The S&P is up, I think it's over 3% for the month of July. This would be the fifth positive month in a row, so a five-month winning streak for the S&P, unless there's a substantial reversal that takes place today. Don't see that happening. And the last time we had a win streak this long on a monthly basis was back in August of 2021. So in August 2021, we actually had a seven-month win streak. We'll see if the S&P could match that. Right now, looking like we're going to wrap up the month with a five-month win streak. So nice little win streak, and the markets just drift higher. We talked about it in our mastermind call this morning. Right now, we're seeing the rubber ducky effect, right? You try to push the rubber ducky into the tub, and it just pops right back up to the surface. That seems to be the case for the markets. And hey, I mean, part of this is earnings. So this earnings season has been pretty decent. More than half of the companies in the S&P 500 have reported numbers. According to Refinitiv, 78.7% have beat analyst expectations. In a typical quarter, going back to 1994, they said 66% of companies beat estimates. So if we're using that as a reference point, going back to 1994, with two-thirds of the S&P 500 beating estimates, we're above that at 78.7. Just shows it pretty decent earnings season so far. And there's also the discussion about no recession, or at least a soft landing. Last week, the Fed decided to raise rates again, and traders shook it off. They didn't really care. Here we had the decision on Wednesday, and we saw the strong start on Thursday, a reversal, but then snapping right back and finishing at with a close that was the highest close for the week. And this comes with the Fed saying that there's still a decent amount of data to digest, but the process of getting back down to 2% inflation has a long way to go. However, the Fed staff is no longer predicting a recession. So that's what Jerome Powell had to say. There are two jobs reports between now and the next meeting, and also two CPI reports. So there's still a lot of data to come out, but 51 days, 2 hours, 54 minutes, and 14 seconds away from the September meeting. So we skip a month and a lot of time in between now and then. However, traders are saying that the Fed, based on Fed funds futures and probabilities here, that the Fed will not raise rates, 79.5% chance. There is a 20.5% chance the Fed will raise rates another quarter point, at least based on the FedWatch tool. If we look at probabilities, this really hasn't changed too much. Traders say, you know what? The Fed's done. The Fed's done raising rates, and it's all about rate decreases in 2024. However, traders betting on that happening in May, potentially March. So we're still going to see high rates between now and the first quarter of the year, at least based on the probabilities and based on Fed funds futures. That's what traders believe. But a soft landing, no recession, that dialogue, that idea is starting to take hold. And I mean, quite honestly, with GDP coming in better than expected, with jobs remaining strong, with inflation coming down, and the Fed being able to keep rates high and actually raise rates without really hurting the economy, seems like that's a likely case. So we'll have to see. But bottom line, how our traders are responding, traders are saying, you know what, we'll be a buyer in this market, at least for now. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at the economic calendar here. And this week, it's really all about jobs. Today, nothing going on that's significant. Tomorrow, we have ISM manufacturing PMI. We also have JOLTS job opening. So that's a report that the Fed keeps an eye on. And then on Wednesday morning, 5:15 a.m. Pacific, 8:15 a.m. Eastern, we have ADP non-farm employment numbers being released. There's an unemployment claims on Thursday, as well as ISM manufacturing. And then Friday, the big jobs report, the monthly jobs report, which includes average hourly earnings, non-farm employment numbers, and the unemployment rate. So as far as jobs go, Friday's going to be the biggest day for data, but we do have a busy jobs week altogether. A report on Tuesday, a report on Wednesday, a report on Thursday, and then wrapping it up on Friday. So this week, data-wise, the focus will definitely be on jobs. And if we see what the overall markets are doing today, it's a bit mixed. It's a bit mixed, even though we're slightly higher in the indices. If we look at the green and red here, looking at the S&P 500 heat map, we're kind of just mixed, for lack of better words. Apple's up a little bit. Microsoft's down a little bit. Nvidia's flat. Google's up a tiny bit. Meta's down a little bit. Amazon's up over 1%. So Amazon the strongest right now out of the big seven. If we see where the red is, there's some red in consumer defensive, also drug manufacturers and the medical industry, crude oil and energy is higher, as well as financial services higher. So a lot of green in financial services, a lot of green in real estate and energy, and some red in healthcare. So looking at individual stocks, not a whole lot going on except for some market movers because of earnings and upgrades and downgrades. Let's take a look at Adobe. Adobe making a move here, up a nice 3.7%. That puts Adobe at levels that we haven't seen since January of 2022. So nice run here with Adobe. Now, they got a boost by an upgrade from Morgan Stanley to overweight from equal weight, saying that basically they're getting the benefit of AI, artificial intelligence, and the investment there. So traders liking this move. Let's take a look at Hasbro. Not toying around with Hasbro today. HAS up over 3%. Now they are reporting earnings, but Bank of America, or let me rephrase that, they are reporting earnings on Thursday. So this coming out before earnings, Bank of America upgraded the stock to buy from neutral. Bank of America saying that they should beat expectations with strong demand for its Lord of the Rings magic set, Magic the Gathering. Bank of America liking prospects for Hasbro, and Hasbro getting a little love from traders, up 3.2% today. If we take a look at just a few more, Chevron, CVX, Chevron, and ExxonMobil reporting earnings on Friday. Chevron up 2.5% today. Now, Goldman Sachs upgraded Chevron to buy from neutral. Analysts said the oil giant is due for a breakout. So after making record highs back in November, pulling back a little bit, finding some nice support around 150, 152, getting up to this upper range that we've seen recently. We'll see if it can break out like Goldman Sachs believes. All across the board, just a lot of green here. I mean, we see the indices up slightly. We see the VIX up, which is interesting. Typically, VIX will be down while the markets are higher. Not the case today. Up a little bit for the VIX. Crude oil's up at 81.27. Crude oil getting back to highs that we saw in April. So a nice multi-month high for crude oil. Nat gas is up. Gold's up. Silver's up. Even Bitcoin's up. So just a lot of green, but not a whole lot of enthusiasm here, right? Like these moves are relatively small. The S&P, up 0.2%. And if we look at a five-minute chart, it's not that flat. Here we go. Open higher, a push up, a drift down to fill the gap, slight move up. There's just not a whole lot of momentum right now. It does look like traders are waiting. And we do have data, also some big earnings, or just trying to figure out where we go from here. In addition to the big economic calendar and jobs being the focus, we do have a pretty active earnings calendar. So if we look at the earnings whispers graphic here, we see that SoFi reported before the bell. Actually, let's look at SoFi. This was another big mover. SoFi reporting a smaller loss than expected. Also, better than expected revenue, up 17%. They were up almost 20%. Traders liking that news and information. After the bell today, a couple of companies, but things pick up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tomorrow, before the bell, we have Uber, Pfizer, Caterpillar, Merck, JetBlue, Altria. After the bell, we have AMD, Devon Energy, Pinterest, Starbucks. On Wednesday, we have CVS before the bell. On Thursday, PayPal, Shopify, Qualcomm, Oxy, Robinhood. And then on Thursday, this is really the big day, especially after the bell. If you don't want to know what Amazon and Apple do on Thursday, then I don't think you're a real trader. I'm just fooling. Hey, if you don't like Apple or Amazon, that's fine, but these are big companies. I mean, some say what the market does is going to be based on Apple. And right now, two huge companies. There's also Coinbase, right? So just a big week for earnings. And I want to take a look at Apple. Let's see what Apple is going to potentially do based on past earnings. Before we do that, let's get back to PowerX Optimizer and talk about PNC, that would be. PNC, both Marcus and I have a position, pardon me, and, excuse me, this time it really is coffee with Mark. All right, PNC, so on Friday, I had sold the 136 calls that were expiring, and on Friday, we were approaching 136, we pulled back from 136. And so I was in a scenario where I could do nothing. And if PNC closed above 136, I'd have my shares called away. If PNC closed below 136, the calls would expire worthless and I'd still own the shares. Or I could potentially roll that 136 call, which would require buying back the call that's expiring and selling next week's expiration or a further expiration. And I didn't want my shares to get called away. I'm not done with PNC yet. We've been in PNC for a while. I've been able to sell calls a few times. My cost basis is 136. My break even is 131.86 now. And I wasn't ready to let those shares get called away. So in hindsight, letting this close below 136 would have been a more attractive option because this morning we opened at 136.12 and we rallied for a little bit. But I didn't want a scenario where I got stuck trying to roll those calls at the end of the day if we were getting a little bit of a pop or rally. So I decided to roll just to ensure that I didn't have those shares called away and that I wouldn't get stuck if the stock rallied into the close. It did actually rally into the close, but didn't get above 136. And I rolled out and up, meaning I rolled out an expiration. So I extended that trade another week by selling this week's expiration, the August 4th expiration, and I also rolled up. So I was able to collect a dollar, which was 33% annualized. And I typically like to roll if I could get 60%. However, in this scenario, I got the 33% annualized on the credit, and I put myself in a situation to potentially make a dollar on the stock increase. So that was a nice trade-off rather than just getting 60% on the credit, which is my goal if I'm looking to roll. In that case, getting 33%, but then potentially being able to make a dollar on the stock increase. So I have rolled to the 137 strike expiring on August 4th. And so far today, PNC pushed higher, looked like it could potentially break through this 137 level. Some definite resistance, short-term resistance there around 137. Now pulling back, trading at 135.73-ish, 135.73. So right around 136, 137. Right now, nothing for me to do with those calls, and I am still in the trade. I think we could get through these levels and make a little bit of a move higher. And that's where I will continue to watch those calls this week because I don't want to let the shares get called away. Maybe we pull back a little bit and I'm able to buy those calls back at 90% max profit. If we stay at these levels or drift higher, I will keep an eye on the roll. I get a little more interested in a roll on Thursday or Friday, maybe Wednesday. So a little early in the week to get too caught up in that right now. So that's a trade that I'm in. Also in CSIQ, Marcus is as well. We have the 35 put that we sold expiring this Friday. 35 puts still available for 31% annualized. We got 40 cents on the credit when we took the trade last week at the beginning of the week. So we had more time value because there was more time to expiration. Still a decent trade, I think. I like the 35 strike. And CSIQ trying to figure out what to do with this 36-37 range right now. So this is one that both Marcus and I have sold for Friday. Now let's go over to the earnings analysis tool because I want to take a look at Apple. Apple reporting Thursday after the bell. Let's see what might happen. Based on past data, we see that Apple actually tends to beat on their earnings per share. So they tend to beat analyst expectations on earnings. And the overnight reaction tends to be mixed. So if we look at the overnight reaction, half of the time there's a positive reaction, half of the time there's a negative reaction. There tends to be a bigger move to the upside than downside. So on average, up 3.5% over the last 12 quarters. If there's a move higher, if there's a move lower, on average, down 2.2%. The seventh-day probability is what I'm mostly interested in if I were to own shares going into this earnings report. So we see that the earnings will be reported after the market close on Thursday, and 7 out of 5 times over the last 12 quarters, which would be the last 3 years, there was a positive reaction on the seventh day. So a little bit skewed to a positive move on the seventh day, but the seven times there was a positive reaction, the stock was up 5.25%. The five times there was a negative reaction, the stock was down 3.75%. So if I was in this trade, now I don't own shares of Apple, but if I was in this trade and I had a lot of profit priced in and I was kind of looking to let it go, I don't think that it's a bad idea to take profits, right? Now, if I was in the trade and I really wanted to stay with it, the way I would look at this is, okay, if the average decline is 3.75% of a percent, I should expect that, right? Let's just round it up to 4%. So I should pretty much expect that Apple could be down 4% on the seventh day, right? And that's the thing. Sometimes traders just go into earnings and they say, oh, there's going to be an earnings beat. Earnings will be positive. Apple's going higher after this. I think that's foolish because there's no guarantee, right? Instead, we want to look at probabilities. We want to have some basis for that decision, and we could still be wrong, right? There's absolutely no guarantee, but to just assume that Apple's going to move higher after earnings, that's just really a gamble, right? Here, at least you have some data to support your decision, and you still could be wrong, but you have some data to have more confidence in the decision to hold a position. If we look at the expected move, Apple's expected, based on options prices right now, Apple's expected to move up 3% or down 3%, actually staying in this range between 202.06 and 190.44. The probability is that 68% of the time will stay between those levels. So that would mean a 16% chance that Apple could be above 202.06 on Friday, and a 16% chance that Apple could be below 190.44. So just a little more data to help support trading decisions is a good thing, in my opinion. That's why we have these tools. Otherwise, we're just gambling and flying blind. Hope this helps. Hope this analysis helps. And maybe we'll take a look at some other earnings plays this week. My guess, Apple beats earnings. The overnight reaction is a coin toss, and 7 days ends up being slightly higher. That's going to do it for today's stock market update. If you like this update, please give it a thumbs up. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe. We love subscribers and we love likes. Until tomorrow, happy trading, everybody.